Good morning and welcome to the Presbyterian Church of Floyd. This is Reverend Bob McLavy welcoming you to our time together. This Sunday is what we know as Christ the King Sunday. It's the Sunday that precedes our entering into the Advent season. So next Sunday, on December 3rd, we will actually be celebrating the first Sunday of Advent, if you can believe that. Another year has passed, and we're back almost into the Advent season. But this Sunday, on November 26th, we are celebrating Christ the King Sunday. And it always comes just prior to entering the Advent season. This Sunday, I am going to have a passage out of Luke, and some may think it's odd that I'm going to be talking about the crucifixion of Jesus, but I think it's important that we remember before we enter into the Advent season, when we are anticipating the arrival of Jesus, that we remember the purpose for his arrival. And so we're going to be looking at the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross. As we now prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you on this Sunday that we know as Christ the King Sunday. We do indeed bow humbly before our King of Kings. And so we thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings that we have. We do pray for peace in the world. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us to understand your word. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Following my message this morning, Alan Vest will be performing Let There Be Peace on Earth, that beautiful song by Jill Jackson, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and how appropriate it is at this particular time in our nation's history and as we enter into the Advent season. So this morning, I will be reading a scripture passage from the Gospel of Luke, and I've entitled my message this morning, The People Stood Watching. And I'll be reading from Luke chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. But before I read that passage, I want to say again that on this Sunday, before the beginning of our Advent season, when we will be celebrating the coming of our Lord Jesus, it may seem odd to some that we would read Scripture and relive the awful death of Jesus on a cross. But perhaps to ensure that we can appropriately celebrate his arrival, we need to once again be reminded of the purpose of Jesus coming to earth in the first place. He came to redeem us so that we too might be welcomed into the kingdom of God. To fully celebrate Advent, we must understand the purpose of the Messiah's arrival. And God did not come to earth in human form for his sake, but rather for ours. And so, 1 week before we begin our celebration of his arrival, we are reminded of the incredible sacrifice that Jesus made for us. So hear now from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 33 through 43. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. Well, friends, I will confess to you that as I have been preparing my message for today and rereading the account of Jesus' crucifixion, sitting quietly in my study at the church, with a cool breeze blowing outside on a very fall day, I read again this passage from Luke about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, and I have to say that tears welled up in my eyes. Yes, I've read this passage many times before. I've made reference to this passage in previous sermons. And it's not like I was reading it for the first time, shocked by the image portrayed here of the brutal and heinous execution of an innocent man hanging on a cross between two criminals. No, I have read it before. I know the story. But somehow, reading it at this particular time is different. And it touched my heart and my soul. And I wept. I was engulfed in the understanding that this innocent and humble Son of God, who walked the earth for all the right reasons, was killed for all of the wrong reasons. Yes, he was killed because the religious and political leaders of the day were threatened by his message. Jesus' last words before his death and resurrection were words of forgiveness and hope, just like the message of his entire ministry. Jesus had spent his life teaching about the kingdom of God, preaching liberation to the captives and healing those who were sick and lame. He befriended those who were the outcasts of society, and he treated the poor and needy with respect, dignity, and compassion. Jesus had chased the money changers out of the temple of God, and he boldly used the term hypocrite to decry those who held themselves out as righteous under the law, but who would judge our Christ because his love and compassion did not fit their own rigid traditions. But they lost every time. Jesus was always a step ahead of them, but now they thought they would have the last laugh. They were stopping this man whose followers called him a king. They thought they could stop others from following him by nailing him to a cross to die. But how ignorant they were. This was no ordinary man. This was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. His message of love and compassion for the poor and the outcast, his message of forgiveness, and his message of hope for the kingdom of heaven could not be stopped by a simple cross on a hill outside of Jerusalem. This was Christ the King. Yes, this same Messiah who died over 2,000 years ago still reigns today in triumph because of God's grace through resurrection. Those of us who believe in the true teachings of Jesus Christ still today are able to encounter his love, compassion, and justice. We are the recipients of God's grace today, and we must remain diligent in defending what Jesus truly stands for. Jesus' stories of forgiveness are legendary. He spent much of his ministry describing the kingdom of God as having different rules and different expectations from the rules and laws of humanity. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like the love freely given when a son foolishly asks his father for his inheritance, goes to a foreign land and squanders all he has. And then when the son comes to his senses and returns, hoping his father will forgive him, he is met with celebration and rejoicing. There is jubilation because of the Father's great love and forgiveness. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a shepherd who cares so deeply for all his sheep that when one is lost, the shepherd goes in search and does not give up until the lost one is found. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a rich man who gives a party, and when the other rich people are too busy for the party, the rich man throws open the doors and invites the poor, the blind, and the lame to partake of the feast. Jesus sat at a well in Samaria in the heat of the day, so that he might talk with an outcast woman who came to draw water. He treated her with dignity and respect and talked to her about the living water, which would qualify her for the kingdom of God. And she returned to her village as an evangelist for the Messiah whom she had just met. This is the one and only Messiah, of course, who the leaders of the day thought could be silenced by death. Our scripture passage says, "The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, 'He saved others, let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one.'" Well, that, of course, is exactly the point of how Jesus is bringing about God's reign of mercy by not saving himself. The Romans were responsible for the inscription over Jesus' head that said, "This is the King of the Jews." And their soldiers mocked Jesus and all of Israel with this title. It was the title with which Pontius Pilate scorned Jesus, and the title which Herod Antipas desperately wanted for himself. Herod was desperate for power over others. The point of crucifixion was to humiliate the enemies of the Roman Empire in public displays of power, as if to say, "Look here, Judeans, this is the fate of all who would dare to take the title of king. Only Rome can award such a title." Ironically, Jesus already carried a royal title far greater than anything that could be awarded by Rome. It is the title Messiah of God that carries with it the true power the people were wanting. God's Messiah exercises his righteous reign of truth, justice, and mercy, and no earthly kingdom could overcome that kind of power. But even with that kind of authority, Jesus chose to die a terrible death to fulfill God's covenant of love and grace for the people who stood watching. Jesus was crucified between two criminals, one on his left and one on his right. And this detail is striking because only a few days before, just before Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, he had received a request from two of his disciples to hold positions of honor. It was from the Gospel of Mark that we know that James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you." And when he asked them what it was they wanted, they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking." And when he asked them if they were able to drink the cup that he drinks or be baptized with the same baptism with which he is baptized, they, of course, replied, "Yes, we can. We are able." They did not know what they were asking. But do you suppose that James and John would have been so eager if they had known what they were asking? Do you think they would have been eager to hang on a couple of crosses, one on the right and one on the left? No, James and John were thinking in terms of prestige and importance. They were thinking in terms of an earthly kingdom, where being seated at the right and left of the king were places of honor, not places of suffering. As Jesus hung on the cross, the soldiers mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And then one of the criminals hanging beside him joined in the mocking. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal knew they were in the presence of holiness. He knew they were in the presence of God. And he rebuked the other by saying, "Don't you fear God, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly because we are getting what we deserve. This man has done nothing wrong." And in that moment, the one criminal recognized the presence of God and reached out to the Messiah. He even called him by his name, saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What kind of king is this who welcomes a criminal into his realm and promises to share God's paradise? It is a king who refuses to conform to the expectations of this world. It is a king who rises above his own personal suffering to love us all. It is a king who is not content to rule from afar, but rather comes to meet us in our weakness and need. It is a king willing to embrace all, forgive all, redeem all, because unconditional love is the core of his righteous character. And it is, finally, our King who has come to usher us into his kingdom, even as the world around us continues to mock him by distorting or ignoring his true teaching and sacrifice. So friends, on this holy Sabbath, let us give thanks for the kindness and mercy of Christ the King, and let us pray for those who refuse to acknowledge him or who defame his holy name by acts of idolatry, greed, hatred, and violence. Come, Lord Jesus, our King, our Mediator, our Savior. We bow in humility in your presence. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray that you will instill in us this message from your word, that Jesus came humbly and yet as a king, the true king, the king of your kingdom. And we pray, Lord, that you will help us to defend his word and his righteousness in all that we do. We do pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, friends, let us enjoy this beautiful song that is so appropriate for today. Alan Vest has arranged and now performs Let There Be Peace on Earth, a song by Jill Jackson. Here is Let There Be Peace on Earth. Thank you. Our thanks to Alan Vest for that beautiful song, Let There Be Peace on Earth, and let that be our prayer. Well, friends, as we are approaching the Advent season yet again, let us remember the true reason that Jesus came to earth, even as a baby. He came as the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And so as we prepare for this coming week, let us be carried into the week with that understanding that Jesus came to redeem us. And that is the reason we celebrate Advent, the coming of Christ the King. Have a wonderful week ahead, and thank you for listening.